the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over. There you go, folks. It's all good. It's all good.
It's all good, guys. What's up? Welcome to episode 2 of the Untitled Raptors podcast. I'm your host, Talib, and Akshay is right with me as well. So Talib and Akshay right here starting episode 2. Akshay, how was your weekend?
It was great. We made it to episode 2, so we didn't give up. Good weekend. I went out Friday with you. We were out at a Christmas party, so we kind of half-watched the Portland game.
Yeah, I saw Seth Curry burn us. Curry. Oh, my God.
Yes, we saw Seth Curry burn us, and then Saturday I went out too, and my body was letting me know that I can't go out more than 2 days in a row.
So that's where, yeah, we're recording this on a Sunday evening. We just watched a fantastic Nuggets game. I'm controlling my anger and frustration at the moment. I'm really holding it in. But I'll wait, and I'll be a bit more, as they say, professional about this.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, today, I don't know if you saw Nick Nurse's post game. He was not so professional about it today.
Well, Kawhi went to the line, got 4 free throws only, so I'm glad. Now we got a coach who's going to get some fines as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, he makes $3 million. It's all right. He'll live. What's the fine? Like, it's 25K or something for that, probably?
25K. Seems like peanuts, right? It's like almost like what I make on a regular basis.
Yeah, so he'll be fine. And you know the funny thing is, he probably does it, and then the team ends up paying for it.
I feel like that's probably what happens majority of the time, right? You expect, like, your team, or, like, even Kawhi, who's making, like, 20, 30 million, is like, thanks, coach.
Yeah, he's 20 this year. He's 20. Yeah, him and Serge are 20, and then Kyle's at 30, and then everybody else is making peanuts in comparison. No, Norm is making 10.
Oh, my God.
Norm and Danny are making 10.
Very good. As long as freaking OG Anunoby is not making that much money, it's very... Oh, again, all right, I won't let my frustrations get ahead of me.
Yeah. All right, so today we're going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to do a few segments. We're going to try it out, see how that works out. And then if you guys like it, we'll continue with it. And if not, we can go back to our freeform ways. So we're going to start with a segment called Likes or Dislikes. So we're going to go through the games that were in the last week. So we had 5 of them, actually. And then, Talib, you can tell me one thing you liked or disliked about the game. And just generally, we'll go through it really quickly. So first game, 99-104 loss to the Milwaukee Bucks at home. What are your feelings on that game, Talib? What did you like or dislike?
All right, I'll start with the likes because there's a couple of things here. You know, I got to watch this game. I think I got in and started watching the game second quarter in. So missed the first quarter, but caught up in the end. They did a really good job on switching. We switched off and often and got the ball out of Giannis's hands. They played Middleton and Bledsoe really well, forcing Bledsoe to shoot more, which is always good. I mean, Bledsoe does shoot really well, but he didn't shoot that well. So it was a bit smart defensive strategies by Nick Nurse. Dislikes, I'm going to go straight dislikes. Kyle Lowry. Oh my God. Like, my notes has Kyle Lowry written all over this. What are you doing? But you know what? Milwaukee really forced Serge to beat us. And like, I think all the other teams are doing that. We've seen that today with OG. They forced Serge to shoot 11 three balls. He is the 7th best three-point shooter on the Raptors. This guy is horrible. Like, he's like... No one should be shooting 11 three balls unless you're Kyle Lowry, or sometimes 11 is a bit too much, right? That's one. And dislike guarding Brook Lopez, a 7-footer hitting step back threes. Come on, man. Like,
I mean, he made one that was like from center.
It was like, how is this guy like unleashed? Like, what is like Bud, like Coach Bud done? Like, he's been like, you know what? We've seen you shoot in practice. Now you're hitting step back threes. Like, God damn. Can you imagine if Jonas Valanciunas shot shooting step back threes? First, it'll be like 5 seconds long and with 10 pump fakes. So that's never going to work. So it was that. And I think Malcolm Brogdon, I think he's a phenomenal player for the Bucks, man. The guy shoots 46% from three. Phenomenal. He was decent three-pointer last year. I was looking at some stats. And he was shot 35% last year. And now he's up to 46. So... great, great point guard for the Bucks, and I'm excited to see what he does because he's going to go up his game over the years. He's going to be a very, very good point guard in the league.
Yeah, I think generally I agree with you. The only thing that I mean, Kyle, that game, the dislike was definitely Kyle Lowry. It was the end of his 4-game stretch where he like got 15 points combined in 4 games, That was the 0 point game, right? I think where you got nothing.
Yeah, zero point game, 5 rebounds, 7 assists.
Yeah, and so I think what frustrated me more than him not scoring was him turning down shots. I remember the last play where it was a tie game or they were down a little bit. Kyle had the ball and basically he got a pick from Leonard, and because he was so hesitant to shoot, they literally just threw both defenders at Leonard, and then Kyle dished it out for a pretty wide open three. But you could tell that they were just like, Kyle, you got nothing right now, beat us. And so that was super frustrating to watch him turn down shots. And I think he was turning down shots the whole week prior to that. But, you know, obviously things changed. So
yeah, I think he got some of that Michael Jordan Space Jam juice in, like, after this game. Like, this guy went nuts after. Like, he was like, I think he probably went on Twitter and saw every person. I saw tweets out there, we should trade Kyle. I'm like, calm down, all right? Like,
I know. Like,
trade Kyle. Trade Kyle. You see what happens when he doesn't play.
Oh my God. I want him back. Oh my God. Anyway, so let's go back. Let's go to LA. The Raptors came into LA shorthanded. Kawhi didn't play, which is hilarious because I think we played 3 games in LA this year and none of the three, or 2 games in LA this year and none of them we've seen Kawhi play. So the recruiting trip is not going as well for them at least. So I'll start with my dislike. That game was awesome. They came out and just whooped them. My dislike is this story of LA actively recruiting Kawhi by sending people to all the games. Did you hear about this? How Lawrence Frank is going to the games or sending somebody to the game to watch Kawhi? Like, I don't understand. What is he doing from sitting in the stands?
I think he's just watching. I didn't even know Lawrence Frank was back in the NBA. Like, I was like, this guy is back in the NBA? Like, what the hell? And he's president of basketball operations? Yeah, like, what do you get when, like, your general manager is just, is he, like, spying on him, just watching him?
I have no idea. And I don't understand what you benefit out of it. Like, is it like Kawhi's going to look up and be like, wow, they really want me? I don't know.
They're spending all those trips to Toronto, I'll tell you. We're going to go get a Kawhi just by sitting in the stands. Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, other than that, that wasn't even part of the game, but it just came out this week. I thought it was hilarious. It was Clipper related. What was your dislikes or likes after that game?
You know, dislike of the game, I think CJ Miles, again, I say this, I feel like a tape recorder half the time, but CJ Miles, I think he took some unnecessary three balls. One thing I find that he does is, like, when he's not even in the rhythm, he starts taking these step back threes and, like, Steph Curry like threes, which don't help, right? You know, like, if you're in the rhythm, go for it. But he just starts taking them and then it just ruins his entire, like, night. Other than that, I love the fact JV took Montrezl Hassel to school, played him really well. Also, I think I saw the sexiest pass I have ever seen, that Kyle Lowry midcourt pass to Siakam with the flash. Oh, that was unbelievable. That was beautiful. That was LeBron-esque, right? I mean, that was the greatest shit. That was amazing.
He was it was so low too, and I like even Siakam to reach down to get it was amazing. Wow,
that was fantastic. Also, anyone notice LA Clippers? What's on their uniform? Bumble.
Bumble. Oh yeah, we didn't make a Bumble joke yet.
I tell you, it is the Bumble sponsored LA Clippers. This is my favorite. I actually downloaded Bumble right after I watched that game, so that marketing really worked. I was off Bumble, and I was like, you know what? If the Clippers are doing it, it's gotta be cool, right?
They don't even hide it. Like, it's on the jersey, and then it's on all the ads behind as well, under the chairs. I was like,
yeah, it's Bumble. They're going all out. They want everyone to know that we are sponsored by Bumble, an openly dating service.
Yeah, by Bumble. I guess it worked, right? Kyle, you're back on, so it worked.
It works. They won. They won me over. So I'm back on Bumble, ladies.
Okay. I guess that's what all the ladies are listening to this podcast for, all five of them.
Yeah, absolutely five.
Okay, so Raptors at Golden State Warriors. So this game where we had loss written all over it ended up being a very easy win. For the Raptors, they won by 20 points. I think they ended up, what was the final score? 113-93. And so my biggest like is post-playing Danny Green. He's shown me a lot this year that I never thought he had in his game. Because when you play, obviously, in the Spurs system, you live in your little box, right? You do what you do. But basically, Nick Nurse was like, hey, anybody who's on Steph, whatever the switch happens, whoever's on Steph, attack Steph. It doesn't matter who it was. He got, I think he took him in the post twice, One of them he did a turnaround jumper and scored. The other one he passed it for an easy layup. And to the point where in the fourth, they sent a double on Danny Green in the post on Steph. I never thought in a million years I would see.
Danny Green getting a double, you know, that's what prompts these damned these things go. I heard something about like DeMar DeRozan for Danny Green, like would have been a good trade. I was like, stuff like that, you know, like Danny Green's getting double teamed. We're like, okay, calm down. He played unbelievable. He played really good. But you know what? I have a big thing with this game. And everyone keeps saying after the game, you get people like, this wasn't that big of a game, right? Yeah. I think this was phenomenal, right? You're playing a top Golden State team. We're playing without Kawhi in this one. We played hard, but you're saying that Golden State missed the shots. I disagree with that. I think the Raptors transition and half-court defense, amazing. Forcing Steph Curry to take those ridiculous shots sometimes, making him take these unnecessary shots, and Nick Nurse creating timeouts at the right moment. If they got a little bit of run, boom, timeout. It's over.
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of debate the next day. I watched Tim and Sid, and they were talking about it. Was this the biggest regular season win in Raptors history? I mean, it's hard for me to picture every single game and all the momentum and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? It's probably up there for sure. Like being, you know, I think there was a crazy stat that there was only five teams that had gone in on a back-to-back in Oracle in the last 4 years and won.
You know what?
That's pretty crazy.
It's a great regular season. I think it's a great away win. Probably one of the best ones I've seen.
Yeah.
The great regular season wins, I think, was... I don't remember the regular season wins that well, to be honest with you. One of the ones that sticks out to me is last year, Raps versus Houston. Yeah. A lot of hype with James Harden and how DeMar and Fred VanVleet played Chris Paul. Like, you know, remember that game? They played really well.
Yeah.
That was a fun game. That was like a good regular season game because you're going against a top-notch team that's fully stacked. And this is similar, right? Again, regular season doesn't mean anything. Just a good win. Get your confidence up. And obviously... By the way, this week's gone. This feels like a gift. Like really good.
I agree. One of the best wins. I think if you really had to think back to like the greatest Raptor regular season win, you'd have to go back to like their inaugural season where they beat Michael. If we were thinking like, I don't know if we're going to remember this win 10 years from now. You know, but still, it's up there for sure.
I don't think I'm going to remember this win 10 years ago. I'll just straight up right now. I think it's a good win. It's fun. It's good to see them. But obviously, a win obviously matters a lot more when you have like some stars playing, right?
Yeah,
when you have stars, something on the line, boom, that's happening.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, I don't even remember it. I wasn't even in Canada.
So
everyone keeps talking about it. They're like, oh, what a good team. And I'm like, they played at the Sky Dome and they sold out. The Sky Dome?
It wasn't sold out. It's like 30 something thousand.
But 30,000 people?
Yeah. For that game, it was 30 something
thousand. Watch MJ. Man.
MJ lose to the Raptors.
MJ lose.
To Mighty Mouse.
I'll tell you. Those are the days. The only time I remember seeing Mighty Mouse play is when he was towards the end of his career with Memphis.
Yeah. He was great at Toronto, actually. But, I mean, they sucked, so... Raptors at Portland. That was the game that we half watched. I mean, maybe you paid more attention to the TV than I did, but I remember them being down and then just a flurry of threes and coming back and then you know, not obviously winning. They ended up losing that game by six. So I don't have like great insight into that game. I did like seeing CJ kind of find his groove. He scored a season high 13 points, which it's kind of sad for the season high, but another way.
You know, I think they said it on the TV today as well. Yeah. Like CJ Miles, the season high, 13 points. I'm like, 13 points. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I hope he does more. But 10, again, like shooting like 10 field goals is not CJ. He's not going to get 10 field goals in this team. Like, he's not going to get that, right? Like he's going to get like five. He's going to be able to make like 3 to 5. Like, that's what you expect, right?
He's supposed, he should like, that's the problem. He's not making right now. And I actually thought he's been playing much better recently. Like, I know his shot is still not 100% there and it's still not falling, but at least he's not making stupid decisions. Like, he's not going into the post and just throwing it up.
He is playing well. Yeah. Okay. Everything else has been good. Yeah, I agree with you. So, I actually watched that game again. Like, I went home the next day and had some time, so I watched that game real quick. A couple of things I liked. They used Fred. If you notice that Fred VanVleet and Kawhi did that screen, they switched screens quite really well, right? So like they often got Kawhi on Damian Lillard, and that's how Kawhi just like went in, dominate. Like it was perfect. And they did that at the second half or the fourth quarter, I'd say, because the first half, it looked like a lost offense. Like watching this thing, it was painful. Like make the screen, just like stagnant offense. And that's what we see normally with DeLon Wright half the time. Sometimes you make that, Serge comes in for the screen. Either they don't make that quick pass to Serge or Jonas for that quick pump or like make that pass out. They just wait for another play to develop. Wait till the defense settles down again, right? So simple plan adjustments that they did. I think good adjustments by Nick Nurse. Really like that. Dislike, obviously, so like 9 offensive rebounds. And towards the end, we watched this in life. A 5-second violation. You cannot have a 5-second violation. Come on. Oh, my yeah. God. This reminds me of like that Chicago guy that did it in Toronto and Drake was distracting him last year.
Yeah. No, they like yeah. it was not Toronto didn't do it, it was the opponent who did it.
No, yeah, it was that Chicago guy. I don't even know who's on Chicago, so I don't even know what Chicago player it was.
I forget, but I remember Drake like clapping like crazy beside him. I remember that image, but I forgot who the player
is. The signature Drake clap.
Yeah.
Clap really loudly.
It was another, you know, tough game. We were down players again. And then we moved on to Denver tonight, where we scored a whole 86 points, where we were playing kind of Raptors-ish versus Denver-ish, because we were missing 5 players and they were missing 4. But they did have Swaggy P. So, you know.
You know, Swaggy P came on, and then I thought about, he made 1-3. Yeah. And he started putting his hand out for like a 3-point celebration. And the next play, DeLon Wright just comes in business, torches him out. Like, all right, get out of here. You're way too slow, way too old. All you can do is shoot threes. We're going to do it. But
did Swaggy P look a little bit larger to you today?
He looks Swaggy Large P, I'll tell you.
He didn't look in shape today to me at all. I was like, at least you can shoot.
He can shoot, but that's about it, right? And that's what Denver needs almost, I guess, right now. But it was that was a tough game to watch. But looking back, I think closeout defense much better than the Portland game. They really forced these guys to shoot some tough shots. I thought like Denver didn't get any easy shots. Raptors just missed open looks. I mean, I could go on for like OG Anunoby, CJ Miles. Okay, first of all, I'd like to put out a shout out to, let's end the Lorenzo Brown experience. All right, that's it. Over, please. G League is completely different. I don't know what to take from this league anymore. How does an MVP shoot an air ball?
So you want to see Chris Boucher? Because he's probably just here's MVP.
I have no idea how this G League even works. I mean, how is this such a discrepancy? Like, or maybe it's like they play differently. Like certain players come out really well from the G League. So it's probably like hustle players like Siakam, who you get the ball and you have to hustle and grind and grab that board. Lorenzo Brown's game is very like a finesse type of game. Like he has to have the ball in his hand. Like when he had the ball, he made the play. But like majority of the times he looked lost. And it's tough. You're not going to get the ball in the NBA. Yeah. Like you're not going to get that efficiency usage rating. Kawhi, Kyle's going to use it or someone else is going to use it. So you better be able to make the shot. And he couldn't make a shot to save his life.
I mean, if you're going to get called up, you need to be a player who can play defense and just shoot open jumpers. Like McKinney in Golden State. Yeah, same thing. Like if he survives because he's not great at other stuff, but he's good at that. You can play defense.
That's all you need. Yeah. You shoot 3 balls and you defense and then you win. But like open shots, like that's all you need to do. And I don't think OG would have done well in the G League.
Yeah, no. Anyway, so I thought the other thing that I've thought all year actually, but today the timeouts were really well taken by Nurse. He seems to always take them at a good time and tries to stop the runs before it happened. One of my beefs with Casey was I think he tried to let players play through things. And I understand that you have to let players play through things when you're building a culture and pounding the rock and whatever. But at some point you need to call the timeout. So I thought this game he did really well. And I actually think this year Nurse's one of his biggest strengths has been timeout calling. And one of the biggest changes I've seen from Nurse to Casey this year.
Fantastic. Yep, agreed 100%.
All right.
Nurse and Casey.
Oh. Good old Casey's. Detroit Pistons are not doing so good anymore. They're coming down to earth. It's shocking that two big men who are your stars are not going to be great. Okay, so segment number two. We're going to play a new segment called Agree or Disagree. So I'm going to read a statement out. Taleb is going to either agree or disagree with it, and then I'm going to agree or disagree with his agreement or disagreement. So statements of the week. I am concerned about Kyle Lowry's inconsistencies.
No, Kyle Lowry's been the most inconsistent player in his entire career. We know this from playoff Lowry to regular Lowry. He goes on, comes back on. It just takes time. But when he's on, he's MVP material. Like, he's really good. He's Raps MVP for years. I'll tell everyone that he is amazing. But he doesn't go off that often, so I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not generally worried because when we talk off, it's more his shooting, and especially his 3-point shooting. That's where it really goes. So I'm not overly concerned about it, but I do like to see all Twitter go crazy every time he has a bad game and trade him and do this and why don't they get this player and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so calm down, everybody. He'll be fine. The Raptors rebounding is a concern. Do you agree or disagree with?
Yes, this is an agree, but this is like, there's two things to this. One is offensive rebounding. Raptors have one of a really good putback percentages. So what that means is that every time they get a board, they really get a point. They have a higher percentage of getting that point again. So they're not getting as many offensive rebounds. So if they can get in a couple of offensive rebounds, that automatically increases their chances of getting those points, obviously. But their percentage compared to the league is really higher. Defensively, it's garbage. It's absolute trash. You got to have someone boarding the ball. I think it's hard because you've got to, when they play the defense, they are normally playing very perimeter defense. Mm-hmm. So either OG's got to come back in a bit or Danny Green's got to come a lot more in, but then you're leaving out those open threes. So this is a tough one right now. I don't know how you solve it. I think it's more like you really have to change your positional D. That's all it is.
Yeah. The problem is like the thing with the Raptors are they're a good team all around. And so if you trade for somebody to like shore up that position, then you have to play somebody less who has a strength elsewhere. Right. So I don't even know, like, if you trade for a power forward who's a good rebounder, so you're going to bench OG or you're going to trade OG. Like, I don't know what you're going to do there. Right. So it's a tough call on what you do on. I think you kind of just live with it and try to fix it internally. Cause you have, your guards are actually really excellent rebounders. You're like, Lowry's good. Leonard is excellent. Yeah, Leonard's good. Green is good. Your main issue is your bigs are not very good. You know, like Siakam's not a great rebounder and Ibaka's not a great rebounder, but Valanciunas is good. Moose is great, but he just doesn't play.
You know what? That's more positioning on the coach's part in that sense. I don't think we need to go and acquire someone just yet. They've got to make some changes on positions. But again, we've never had a full healthy team, so you never know, right? So.
Okay, so the Raptors will have 3 All-Stars this year. You agree or disagree with that?
You know, I love Mafuzi. Mafuzi Chef is amazing, Mafuzi. Right? First of all, I'll tell you something. I've been on Mafuzi's train, Serge Ibaka's train, last year. Even though he was having a shitty year, I was like, this guy is fantastic. I think he's like 40 years old, right, though? So I don't think he's
making it. He gets very offended when people make fun of his age.
I'm kidding, Serge. You're probably like, you look 24, right? You look 24. With all the weird food that you have. But no, to be honest with you, I think he's a great player, but All-Star, you're pushing it. No.
So you don't think they're going to get 3 this year?
No, this is Toronto, man. Come on. You don't get...
Yeah, so I thought they might, but I think they're going to go through a rough patch now in December, which is what I thought, especially... Like, I thought it was going to be tough in December anyways, and with all the injuries that they're having, it's going to be even more tough. So because of that, I think their record won't be as like, great around the All-Star voting time, you know, in January when they really start talking about it. So I think they're going to get 2. And I also think that the East, you know, they're going to have things like, I think Philly might get 3 because they're Philly and everybody talks about them. I don't think they deserve it, but they may. But yeah, so I don't think we're going to get 3 either this year.
Philly's going to get 3 because Ben Simmons puts up pad stats, like against Cleveland Cavaliers, put up the triple-double against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Come on, man.
Did I send you the video of the Ben Simmons reaction thing?
No, I didn't see that. Oh, I sent that over.
Oh, man, there's this Twitter video going around where it's like Ben Simmons shooting practice threes and as soon as...
Oh, yes.
I sent it to you, right? Where he's shooting practice threes. And then like the reaction after the practice, like it cuts to a scene of like the crowd cheering, making a practice three. I was like, that's true. I don't think I've never seen Simmons make a 3 in my life, like, because he doesn't shoot them at all. So Okay, Pascal Siakam. I know it's tough because he's hurt now, but Pascal Siakam will be the most improved player this year. Agree or disagree?
Disagree.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, I love Pascal, but no, I think there are two players out there who I think are even better. And that's, if you look at one of the top teams in the West, Sacramento Kings, they're doing really well. Like, they're playing really well above what they're expected to.
Uh-huh.
Buddy Hield and Darren Fox are putting up numbers that are phenomenal. Yeah. Like, Fox is handling the ball, assisting, playing that data, and playing that game. And Buddy Hield is finally shooting well. Remember when he was traded for, what was he traded for? He was traded for DeMarcus Cousins, right?
Yeah. That was the big trade. Vivek wanted his Steph Curry. That was his Steph Curry.
That's Buddy Hield. Yeah. I don't think he's Steph Curry, but I think he's got a really good game. I think it's probably going to go to one of those two teams, those two guys, unless I think it all depends if Sacramento actually makes playoffs. So I'll put it there. If Sacramento makes playoffs, one of those two guys will get it. If not, it could be Pascal.
Yeah, the other one I was always thought about was Sabonis in Indiana. I haven't checked his numbers. I haven't checked his numbers recently, but he was definitely in the conversation, especially when Victor went out for a while. He's back now. But Sabonis
he plays that old school game, man.
Yeah,
old school game. Love it.
He's great. So he might be the one that I. So I agree with you that I don't think Pascal's going to win it, primarily because I think the competition is going to be good. But I also think Pascal's going to come down to earth, and we're already seeing it because the spin move that used to give him wide open, you know, layups that you and I could make, it's not giving.
Hold on. First of all, I don't think I could make a layup. I would dunk that ball with authority. That's right.
Yeah, for you you guys who don't know Talib, he has like a 10-inch vertical. It's not going to happen. but yeah, so the spin move used to result into like super easy 99% shots. And now what it's resulting into is still good shots, but he has to go over defenders. He's like 3-4 feet away from the basket. So now those are lower percentage shots. His numbers are going to start to go down a little bit. I think he's still going to be great and valuable, and we're going to need him. I just think that they're going to... Now he's on the scouting report, essentially, and it becomes harder to put up the same numbers. So I agree with you. Okay, so the last one, in our show notes, I put it really poorly because Talib has no idea what I'm talking about. But so essentially, I read this article or this post on Reddit or NBA or Twitter. I can't remember where I read it. But the argument was, you take the exact same team that we have today, and you get the option to replace Danny Green with DeMar DeRozan. Do you agree that that's a better team or not?
What is wrong with people? Like, no. What is wrong with people?
No, you don't. No. You think Danny Green's better, right?
No, I think DeMar is amazing.
You would rather have DeMar than Danny Green on this team the way it is.
No, not this team.
That's what I'm saying. This team.
This team. But I'd want Kawhi, right? I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't make a trade for DeMar for Danny Green straight up.
Like, No. In this hypothetical crazy scenario, it's this team and Danny Green or this key team with Danny Green replaced with DeMar. Which one would you prefer?
That's such a stupid scenario. Like, people on Reddit have no lives, man. What the hell? That's such a ridiculous thing. No. Like, yes, Kawhi is going to come to Toronto on his own. No, man, no one comes to Toronto on its own. We have to acquire stars and then make them our stars.
But you think that Danny Green is better for this team than DeMar is, as currently put together?
That's a tough one.
That's the question. Yeah, that's really the question, right?
Yeah.
And I actually think it's a...
His defense is phenomenal.
I think his defense, his 3-and-D, I think it's a better fit. I don't think you need a player to put up 20 points off the mid-range right now.
Okay, this is what Danny Green... Danny Green is the DeMar Carroll we never got.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's a DeMar Carroll we never got with a better social profile and a social media following. That's what he is.
So the post that I was reading made a really good point. It was that if you want to go from being a average team, so suppose you're a 35-win team and you want to become a 45-win team or a 50-win team, you want DeMar DeRozan. He's going to push you to that level. But if you're a very good team already, so you want to go from a 55-win team to a 60-win team or 65-win team, you need a guy like Danny Green to push you over that next level. DeMar won't push you to that next level, but somebody like Danny Green who can play defense and shoot threes and really fill in the gaps there will help you more than a 20-point scorer who can't stretch the floor and play defense.
You know, I tell you something. I love that. I love the data. I just have no idea how this stuff works.
Yeah.
Like, how you come up with this stuff is like beyond my years. I was like, this is some assumptions over assumptions over assumptions.
I know, but this is what I did at work. I read all this stuff. Anyways, I found it super interesting to think about what players that you can't just obviously, it's a good exercise to think that you can't just put players on teams and expect it all to gel, right? You actually need good fits, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So anyway, so I don't know if we really got to an agree and disagree on that one, but I just read it. I thought it was interesting, so I wanted to share it. Okay, so we're gonna talk a little bit more about numbers. We're gonna do a new segment called Take That for Data.
But they're not gonna rook us. Wow, fine. They're not gonna rook us. My guys dug in that game and earned the right to be in that game, and they did not even give us a chance. That's unacceptable. That was unprofessional. Take that for data. I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up. Explain it to me.
So Talib, explain it to me. So we're gonna talk a little bit about numbers every week. So Talib's got this week up, and he's gonna talk about some numbers that he found interesting or he just wants to rant about.
I want to rant about this, and I found it pretty interesting. All right, right before this game, I was looking at some numbers, and I was looking at our favorite player of this week, OG Anunoby. All right, OG Anunoby is shooting 30% from the free throw line. Now, 30% from a free throw line puts him in the bottom 5% of people in his position. So already that's pretty poor. Now, he shot 62% in prior years, so he's already dipped 50%. That's a cause for concern for Raptor fans. I'll tell you right now. He's shooting 30% from three-point land, also in the bottom 20% of the league relative to his position. Cause concern. Now, 30% of OG's total shots are corner threes. Now, corner threes he makes only 23% of them. Now, we see him take a lot of corner threes. We saw them today. He makes only 23% of them. But when he's not in the corner, he's shooting 42. So that number is heavily inflated for that 42%. So either you switch OG with the guard and make the guard make that extra pass to OG not in the corner, that assumingly uses his better percentage. So that's an interesting fact. Last, I looked at the numbers for the last 11 games. Raptors are like a plus 84 with 7 wins and 4 losses over the points. OG, in that period of time, is a minus 51. Minus 51. Overall the season, he's a minus 9, so it doesn't show. But in the last 11 games, he's a minus 51. So there is a declining OG. There is a declining OG at the moment right now. I'll tell you straight up. I think he sucks right now. He's playing god-awful defense. And I just don't think if you can't make a free throw, dude, 30%. This is Shaq makes more than this, man. What's wrong with you, man?
Well, he went 1-for-4 today, so I don't know what it is. It's probably lower than 30 now, right?
Yeah, 25%, probably lower. Yeah, so. Yeah. So that's my data for this week.
Yeah, you know what? And it's funny because like last year he was the best wing defender on the team. Now he's the third best wing defender on the team, right? Behind Danny and maybe fourth behind Pascal. The problem is now he's the fourth best wing defender, and he also can't do anything for you offensively. Last year, at least he was the best defender, so you had to have him on. And then he would make the corner threes pretty consistently. I don't know what the numbers are off the top of my head, but he would make them at much better than he's making. I'm shocked that he's only shooting 23% from the corner. I knew it was bad, but I didn't think it was that bad. So I don't know if it's just a slump, but he doesn't do anything. Like usually when rookies come in and you play them early and they're in their careers pretty regularly, they do one thing really well. You know, they shoot three, they drive well. They do something well that you can kind of use them on the offensive end. Right now he's not doing anything well and he's not the best defender on the team. And so that's why it's becoming a struggle to play him.
To defend against OG, okay, you don't want him taking the shoot the three, make him put the ball on the floor and then foul him. He's gonna miss both free throws anyways. Like it is if you can't make shots or make fouls, I don't know what he's doing. Like maybe his confidence is down a bit. But he may need to play with like on the first line, on the starting lineup
it's funny. Today was the perfect chance to play with them.
I don't think this is a starting lineup. Without Kyle, I think this is you're still playing.
But you
Kyle's the big guy. Kyle's the glue.
Yeah, I get that. But you still didn't play him. He still didn't start today, right? Like, he could have started in place of CJ, but he didn't, right? So, I don't know. I think he might be losing some minutes. I hope he turns it around, but I don't know if he's going to turn around as much.
He's going to lose at Norm. Norm is going to be very close, and this could be tough. Norm's 40% from three, so.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, everything changes week over week, so we'll see.
Absolutely.
Okay, so yeah, good. we'll see. Let's see what numbers he ends up with next week. Okay, so the last thing I want to do is some general NBA stuff. So did you see the Brooks drama this week? This is literally, I think I only have Twitter for NBA Twitter. This is literally like my most fun thing of the season. How incompetent three front offices can be to let this all leak out and then just, you know, completely fizzle away. And then the next day, make a trade, which is much worse for Phoenix. But anyways, that's another story. So for anybody who doesn't know what happened this week, I will give you the general timeline of what happened. So around 8:21 p.m., our favorite Woj tweets out and says that Washington, Phoenix, and Memphis have agreed to a deal where Dylan Brooks is going to the Suns, and Washington is getting... Washington was going to get Trevor Ariza, and I forgot what Kelly Oubre was going to Memphis or something like that. And then there was some picks involved and blah, blah, whatever. That was the gist of the trade. And then clarification, 2 minutes later, 1 minute later, Woj says, it's Marshawn Brooks, who is not Dylan, who is much worse than Dylan. Dylan is, I didn't even know Marshawn Brooks was in the league still. Dylan is Dylan's a decent, you know, player, cheap, really fits the timeline for Phoenix. That one makes sense. Marshawn Brooks is not even a rotational player. I don't understand why they would give up an expiring for another bad player. Like, it doesn't matter. It makes sense. Anyway, so that's what Woj says. Couple minutes later, Chris Harrington of the NBA says it's Marshawn Brooks. Okay, cool. Marshawn Brooks. Then a Suns beat reporter who has heavy ties to Sarver, the owner, says that it's Dylan Brooks, not Marshawn Brooks. Okay.
This is my favorite. Yeah. No,
And so then 10 minutes later, the same beat reporter, his name's Gambo, says it's definitely Dylan Brooks, not Marshawn Brooks. Then Chris Harrington at the exact same time says, no, it's Marshawn Brooks, not Dylan Brooks.
Can you imagine being these players at the time? You're like, I don't know which one's worse. Am I getting traded? Am I needed, or am I still not getting? Like, it's what a joke. And you know what? In the end, the trade didn't even go through, right? Like,
no, well, and then 8:53 p.m., Woj totes that the deal is in jeopardy, and then by 9:06, it's dead. Which is so, like, between 8:21 and 9:06, all this drama is happening where. First of all, this trade is such a nothing trade in the NBA. It's not changing anything. Washington is not suddenly scarier because they got Trevor Ariza. They gave up Kelly Oubre, whatever. It's not a big trade. The only reason we're talking about it is because three front offices could not communicate on which Brooks to be sending, and then ended up completely falling through. And then the next day, they did a two-team trade, where I think Oubre and... Austin Rivers. Oh, that's the one. Austin Rivers went to Phoenix, and Phoenix sent back Trevor Ariza. That trade sucks for Phoenix. They don't get anything in it. Oubre is not that great, but even if you want to keep him, he's the restricted free agent really soon. You're not going to pay him the boatload of money. At least Dylan Brooks was cheap.
I don't even get that trade for anyone, to be honest with you. Like, I don't get it for anyone. Like, it's such a weird trade. But it's a nothing trade, which is the best part. And I don't even know who to blame because all three front offices have known to make like these ridiculous. They've been all garbage recently. Anyways.
Yeah, and so and the funny thing is like people don't like people. I don't know if people know this, but like obviously all these media people who get the leaks, they have all these connections in the front office, but they're not actually like people leaking secrets. The media is used by the front office and the players and everything to push agendas, right? And so it's not some crazy. Insight that Woj has, it's the president probably messaging or texting Woj and telling him the deals, right? So now, once you hear this deal, in Phoenix, you're hearing it's Marshawn and these Twitter reports are coming out. Why are you texting your own guy and saying, no, no, it's not Marshawn, it's Dylan? Like, shouldn't you pick up the phone and call Memphis and say,
just be like, hey.
Yeah. Instead of constantly messaging your own media people to send out tweets, to let the world know that, like, are you trying to strong arm Memphis to be like, oh, no, you're definitely sent. It's not like they're going to be like, oh, sorry, we're going to send you Dylan instead because you really wanted him. I don't know. Anyways.
Communication skills.
What a crazy, crazy day. I think there's more due diligence that goes on in fantasy basketball trades than that trade happened.
Absolutely. I think I don't make a trade until like I've looked into the guy's like history and looked at what points I need, and then I still don't even do it. You know, that's the thing. I think I ripped Akshay off in a fantasy basketball trade once, yeah. And it's probably the greatest trade I've made.
Who was it? Who was the trade? I forgot who I gave you.
You gave me, was it Jason Thompson? Was it Jason Thompson for, it was the three-point shooter from, oh, Gerald Green.
No, it wasn't. It was, wasn't it a big? It was a big.
No. No, I got Gerald Green from you.
Really? No, I don't feel like that's a trade. Anyways, it was a terrible trade. I admitted it at the end of the season, and I retired from fantasy basketball after that. That was it. That was it. I couldn't handle it anymore. It was like my Hedo Turkoglu signing, and I could never take it back again. Okay, cool. So the Brooks drama. I hope NBA Twitter gives us some more great drama like that this week as well. So, okay, this week, what do we got this week? We got Indiana at the Raptors. Wednesday, we got Cleveland at Raptors, and we've got Raptors at Philly on Saturday, back-to-back. No idea what the injuries are. Nick Nurse said that he doesn't expect Kyle and Siakam to be serious. Norm is coming back soon, don't know when. Valanciunas is definitely out. Van Vliet, no idea. So what do you think on these three teams?
All right, first of all, I did go 0-for-4 last week. Just to get you out there, I did go. I got a lot of slack for this. Like, first of all, I'm not a Raptors expert. All right, I don't make these predictions and like they follow my tunes. Anyone who knew the Raptors and they were going to play Golden State Warriors, come on, you take the odds, you take the chances. But I'll give my prediction for this one: Indiana, the Raptors. This is going to be a very tough win, but I think the Raptors are going to win this one. This is a top defensive team. Transition team offense. Indiana's got a great transition team offense. We have to limit them. And they've got a 7-game win streak. So they are on fire right now. Victor Oladipo's back. As we mentioned, Sabonis. Sabonis is a fantastic player. If you guys haven't seen highlights of this guy, he plays that old school basketball. Plays it really, really well. Rebounds really well. Is going to be a fantastic player in the league. So Indiana Raptors, Raptors take it. Assuming I think Kyle's going to come back and we'll be all good to go. Cleveland at Raptors, LOL. Like LOL. I think that should be, if the Raptors lose to Cleveland at home court, this is going to be some serious issues against Cleveland. Like this team is so shit. It is beyond shit. It is dog shit. It is
so you're saying all that now, it's a trap game.
100%. Raptors are going to win Cleveland. And against Philadelphia, we're going to beat Philly. So it's a back-to-back.
Yeah, you think they're going to go 3-0 this week?
100%. I went 2-2 last week. I'm going 3-0. This is the resurgence of the Raptors. Raptors at Philly, we're going to go and we're going to beat Philly in Philly. Although, you know what? I've been listening to JJ Redick's podcast recently. What a fantastic podcast. JJ Redick, as a player, scares me in Philly more than any other player on that team. Because he is an unbelievable shooter, like really good shooter. So I think if anyone is going to beat us, it's going to be JJ with his game. But I think Raps going to take it. So 3-0, Raps. Raps don't do well with transition defense. Philly's not exactly at the top of the transition defense teams, so we can exploit them really well. The only one who's actually really good in transition team defenses is Indiana. Now, I'll tell you a quick thing. Who are the top transition defense teams? Brooklyn, lost. Detroit, lost. Indiana, coming up. Milwaukee, lost. Denver, lost. Like, these are top transition defense teams. So, Indiana, I'm taking my chances. Just by looking at some team numbers and everything like that. Raps 3-0 this week.
Ooh, okay. I'm not so positive as you are. I think they're going to go 2-1. I think the Indy game's going to be really, really hard. They're coming in. You said they've won 7 in a row. They are on a back-to-back. That's the only reason that I think maybe the Raptors have a chance on it, but their back-to-back is they're facing Cleveland the night before. And so I actually think they're going to probably come in on an 8-game win streak. They're going to be feeling really good. Victor's playing good again. He's back from his injury. I think he went off for like 20-something, 7-8 tonight. So, and they destroyed the team they faced. I forgot who they played tonight. They faced the Knicks tonight, so I will. Not that great, but
Well, the Knicks beat Bucks the other night, so I don't know.
Yeah, Tim Hardaway Jr., man. Tim Hardaway Jr.
All that money.
Yeah, 84 million or something. So
84 million. That's what you pay. That's what New York.
You know what? There's that contract when it was signed. They made a lot of jokes about it, but at the end of the day, there was much worse signed in that year. Much, much worse.
I'd like to give a shout out to Timothy Mozgov. I don't know what he's doing in life right now, but Mozgov, with an extra dough he made by sitting on the bench in Cleveland, is now a very, very rich man.
Mozgov, dang. Shout out to our boy Bismack and his $17 million
a year. Oh, Bismack. That's the best. That's the ultimate thing. You play well for one round of playoffs, and you get money on money on buckets. New NBA, that's what it is.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm going to go 2-1 this week. I think the Indy game is going to be tough, and then I think they're going to beat Cleveland, and I think they always play Philly really well. Philly has a hard time because they don't have shooters, except Redick, and they got rid of their shooters even more, so... So I think they're going to win that game. And so 2-1 for me, 3-0 for you. You know what? I hope you win and you're right. But I don't think so. Okay, cool.
Have faith.
I think we babbled up way, way too long today. 46 minutes of babbling on. So we'll come back next Sunday. We'll recap the three games of the week and then we'll find some more stuff to blab about. Anything else, Sal, before we leave?
No. Oh, thanks. Thanks all for listening. Oh, just I got to give a quick shout out to our sponsors. Just going to give a quick shout out for tinderphotography.ca, one of the top dating profile photography services in Toronto. I know the owner of this business. He's a fantastic guy, treats the clients with the utmost respect, takes the best pictures for those right swipes, because his message, he sent me a message the other day and he was like, Talib, we're really trying to help people find love. So this is a shout out to tinderphotography.ca. This is a non-paid sponsorship, so I'm really doing it the kindness of my heart. Also, I'm on Bumble, so it's Tinder Photography. Works on Bumble as well. So
yeah,
go tinderphotography.ca.
Yeah, exactly. You can use it for Bumble, OkCupid, Hinge, Farmers Only, whatever your deal is, guys. Yeah, so Tinder Photography.
Minder.
Shout out to our Muslim listeners out there. Okay, that's it. We're good. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next week, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Peace out.